The first Bible passage is going to be read from Romans 8:14-17. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is that very spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If, in fact, we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. The second reading is taken from Galatians 4, verse 6 to 7. And because you are children, you have sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also hear through God. The third Bible passage is taken from Ephesians 1, verse 13 to 14. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people to the praise of his glory. And God always blesses the public reading of his inspired and infallible word.
This morning, if you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. One thing I know is I don't know any of you until today, but we are all a part of the family of God, which in fact means that you are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. And we are part of God's family. And what a beautiful picture. And there's nothing more important to me than family. So this is my family on the screen. You'll see that is my wife, Maddie. She is here with me today. That is my son, Nolan, who last year, yes, you can give her a big hand. My son last year graduated from Princeton University, and we were at his graduation. That's Sophie Cork and Ella, and both of my girls are here, Sophie and Ella. And then one big welcome for my niece, Adela, who is here from Australia. So would you welcome Adela as well? And as my family, my youngest daughter, Ella, just graduated from Baylor University in Waco, Texas. And in the United States, college is a really big deal. And before she went to Baylor 4 years ago, Baylor does this interesting thing called, they do like a camp. It's an orientation that you come to before you go to college. It's in the summer prior to your freshman year. There were 4,000 or so incoming students. So for multiple weeks, they would go to Waco, Texas for this week of camp. So my girl Ella went before she went to Baylor. And she went through this four-day camp. At the very end, they have what they kind of call this welcome to the Baylor line. I'll tell you about that in a minute. But the faculty and staff line up on two sides. All the way down, there's a bonfire at the end. And every new incoming student walks down. And they congratulate. They give high fives. And then when they get to the end of the line, they receive a jersey. And this jersey is going to be on the screen. And it says the Baylor line. And they're a part of the Baylor line. And what happens, football's a pretty big deal as well. At that very first game of your freshman year, you put that jersey on and you usher the team into the stadium. And it is tradition. Baylor is really, really smart. They had my daughter from the moment she walked on campus. And when they all said, way to go, at the end they said, welcome to the family. You are a part of the Baylor family. And I can tell you, my girl was going nowhere else. And she graduated last week after 4 years. And as she said goodbye to all of her friends and her home, she has made lifelong friends. Her life has been changed because she was part of the Baylor family. Today, if you're a child of God, you are a daughter, you are a son of the Most High God. And we are all part of his family. And today, as we open our Bibles to chapter 8, here's what I want you to know. If you are a follower of Jesus today, your identity is rooted in him. You have been given an inheritance as one of his children, which, listen, is secure and it is eternal. You've been adopted into God's family and your name matters today. Yet many of us, as we walk through this thing called life, we struggle with this identity. We struggle with not only believing it, but living it out day in and day out. You see, the enemy actually knows what God has spoken over you. So what does he do? See, he attacks your identity to distract you from your purpose. He attacks your identity to tell you that you're not worthy, that you haven't done enough, that you're not good enough, that how could you be considered a son or a daughter of the Most High to distract you from the purpose God has for you. We're in this series called Show Your Power, the Promise of Pentecost. And last week, if you were here, you heard Malcolm talk about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity. And he said, the Holy Spirit is our peace. And when you have the Holy Spirit, you have peace. Oh, everything might not be peaceful. Malcolm said there's a difference between having peace and feeling it. But God the Father said he will give you an advocate, the Holy Spirit, to be with you and who is for you. He talked about your jobs, whether you are a lawyer or a banker or an educator or a nurse, that the Holy Spirit is with you. And if you let the Holy Spirit, he will guide you. And as he already said, he is here with us today. So Romans 8:14 starts this way. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Those of you who are children of God, it says, will not be led by your desires, nor by your wisdom, or by your lust of your flesh, but you will be led by the Spirit of God. So what does that mean? If you're a child of God, then God should be leading your life. And if something is happening inside, then it actually should be seen on the outside. And he comes and he said, those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. See, if you have received from God the Holy Spirit, it's not about your works or your efforts so anyone can boast. It's not dependent on what you do or what you haven't done or what you will or won't do. It's because of who you serve and the power of the Spirit that resides deep within you. Jesus said these words in the book of John, chapter 14, verse 12. He says, very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. In fact, will do greater works than these because I am going to the Father and I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be with you. Very truly, he says, I tell you, anyone who believes, you have the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. God who raised him from the dead said is that same power that lives and dwells within you. And in Galatians 4, Paul says it this way, for those who belong to Jesus Christ, you've been crucified with the flesh, with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, well, let us also be guided by the Spirit. So because of Jesus Christ and your adoption into the family of God, you have received this promise. that the Spirit of God lives within you and is with you and empowers you. He has taken up residence in you and he advocates for you and on your behalf, and he believes in you, which today should give you a foundation of security and hope and blessing. See, today I want you to understand one thing as you leave this place. As a child of God, you have been given everything you need from the God of everything you have. See, led by the Spirit simply means that your life is now oriented or directed and empowered by the Spirit to live and honor Jesus Christ. So what does that look like? Well, I have this glove. My wife and I are on our way to Scotland because I'm getting ready to go play golf. Excuse me. And I can't wait because Scotland's supposed to be the home of golf, so you got to do it once. So I'm going. This glove represents you. It's lifeless. There's no strength. There's no power. This glove is worth about $1.99. But you know what brings this glove power and strength? My hand. When I go and put my hand in this glove, that's where the strength comes from. That's where the power is. It's the same as the Holy Spirit that resides in you. See, until you understand and know that without this glove, this is just you. You're kind of going from one situation to another. You're floundering. And Christ comes in and he says, no, I've come to give you strength that you might live differently. I've come to empower you and to give you life and to hope and to build you. And the power comes from him and not you. And he needs to do a work in you before he can ever do a work through you. But the day he comes and he says, those who are led by the Spirit, you are empowered, you are strengthened. Hallelujah. Verse 15, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery, what, to fall back into fear? No. You received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. And when we read the Old Testament, we see that the Israelites were led by God himself. It says that God would travel with his people in a pillar of clouds by day and a pillar of fire by night. And God had freed them from slavery in Egypt. And if you know anything about the Exodus, he was leading them to the promised land. And on this painful and long journey, they kept wanting to go back into captivity as slaves because that's all they knew. And it was comfortable. And they said, take me back. Because things got hard and it seemed overwhelming. And they would cry out for the good old days of being held captive as slaves in Egypt. You see, God had freed them to bring them to their ultimate freedom. But so many days they were held captive by their fear and their longing for their past. They were freed, but they've not grabbed a hold of their freedom yet. Paul says, hey, listen up, followers of Jesus. Don't be like those people that went before us. They received the promises of God, but they were stuck in their bondage and their sin of unbelief. See, their whole point of freedom was to one day lay a hold of their inheritance that God was giving them in the promised land. See, God had promised, yet they continued to long for their enslavement, and they stopped focusing on the future that God had promised them. So let me ask all of us a question today. Do we access all that we have access to? Spiritually, do we access all that we have access to? Do we live as one with an inheritance that never diminishes in value, that never fails in the promises that are made to us, and know that we have the power of God dwelling in us? So let me ask you, in this season, is that the way you're living? As one who has been given an inheritance by the God of the universe? Are you living as a child, enslaved to fear? In our church, we sing that song. We're no longer a slave to fear, for what? I am a child of God. Are you capturing the worrisome thoughts that come across your mind? The angry thoughts, the fearful thoughts of a future that is unknown and unseen. I think that's what Paul's instructing us to do, to take every thought captive. My wife being here today, she can tell you, I don't worry about too many things. In fact, I don't really worry at all. That can be a good thing, and it can be a bad thing. I think there's some things I need to worry about. But here's what I know. When I was in junior high school, I made a decision for Jesus Christ, and I walked down an aisle, and I knelt at an altar at my old Nazarene church, and I told Jesus that I was going to give him my life, which meant that I entrusted him with everything. Not everything I could see, not everything I could control, not everything I could understand. I had given him everything. And you know what everything means? Everything. So what does the Bible say? Just insert your word. Hey, Matthew, don't worry about tomorrow. It's got enough worries of its own. So guess what I don't do? I don't worry about tomorrow. How about you? What is grabbing a hold of your mind? Scripture comes and it says, hey, renew your mind. How do you renew it? Well, you renew it by God's word. You renew it by understanding and knowing the one who has been faithful and caused you to be faithful. I didn't worry when I majored in trumpet performance in college. Who majors in trumpet? I did. Anybody else? No trumpet majors. Who marries a trumpet performance major? My wife. What was she thinking? I played trumpet at Disneyland. I wore stupid outfits and danced around and entertained people. That's what I did for a living. And she married me. And then I became a pastor. I didn't want to be a pastor. I was a music pastor at our church starting in 1992, part-time. I took it because I needed some extra money. And I was playing full-time at Disney, and I was a choir director. We had like 25 old people in the choir that wore robes. I had a deaf piano player, and my secretary was the organ player. We were terrible. And I was like, what am I doing here? But you know what happened? I was called into ministry, directing a choir of terrible singers and a deaf piano player. And my wife married a trumpet player. And I stand here 33 years later as the senior pastor of that church. Who could have done that? Only God. Amen. Don't let your kids major in trumpet performance, whatever you do. They might become a pastor. But he comes along and he said, if you're led by the Spirit, then guess what happens? Then you live by the Spirit. And I think he tells us we're so enslaved to our past and our sin and what we have been. And God says, no, I have called you to something different. I have adopted you as a son and a daughter. And there is a life that is everlasting and more than you could ever imagine if you trust in him. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, and we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Captive means to bring it under control. So what controls you? Your worry, your fear, the unknown, or the promises of God. 2 Timothy 1:17 says, for God did not give us a spirit of cowardice. The NIV says a spirit of fear, but rather a spirit of what? Of power and of love and of self-discipline. So today, if you're here and you feel like God has forgotten you as a son or a daughter, I want you to listen to these words as I speak them over you. Romans 8:38 says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today, as a child of God, you have been given access to everything you need from the God of everything you have. So as God's children, who are no longer slaves to fear, we have this gift of being led by the power of his Spirit. And now we are reminded in verse 15 that we are adopted. And he says, for you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption when we cry, Abba, Father. When Paul was writing these words, under Roman adoption, the life and standing of the adopted child changed completely. The adopted sons lost all rights in his old family and gained all the rights of a new family. Everything from his old life, his debts had been canceled. Nothing from his past counted against him anymore. Adoption, really, if you think about it, is one of the most profound realities in the universe. And I say the universe, not the world, because adoption is greater than the world. It was before the world began that God planned our adoption as his sons and daughters, and it will outlast the world as we know it. And adoption is rooted in God's very character and his nature. And now we are not only adopted, but we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. We have the privilege of relating to the Father as Jesus Christ does. Verse 16 says, it is the very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. His name was Timothy Henry Gray. He was a homeless man that died at the age of 60, having died from hypothermia. He had been homeless for years, and he was unable to survive the long winters in New York City. What makes Timothy's story very unique was this. He was a millionaire, yet he never knew it. You see, Timothy was the great-grandson of the founder of Las Vegas, Nevada. And at his death, he was estimated to be worth around $19 million. Max Lucado, the great author and pastor, writes this. If we had stood to inherit so much money like Timothy did, we'd make it our aim in life to receive and have access to all our inheritance, wouldn't we? But for those of us who are followers of Jesus, the question is, do we? Not financially, but spiritually. Paul comes and says, you are co-heirs with God. You are heirs of Jesus Christ. Do you have access? You do. To the power of the living God in and through you. The question is, do you access all that you have access to? That second part, verse 17 of Romans 8, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ if, in fact, we suffer with him so that we may also be glorified with him. I'm going to say most of us don't like that scripture, do we? How many of you love to suffer? I had two people in the last service. We had special prayer over them. They needed help. I don't think there's any of us that love to suffer, right? But he comes and he says, you are joint heirs with Jesus Christ if you suffer. See, I don't believe now at 56 years old, you can be fully used by God unless you've gone through hell for God. There's a suffering that shapes you. There's a suffering that changes you. I don't worry about much, as I told you. I came from a very loving and kind family. My mom and dad were married 66 years. Both are in heaven. My dad was a hard worker, owned a plumbing company in St. Louis, Missouri. My mom cleaned the church to put me through college. My mom prayed for me every single day. I would wake up and I would hear her. She was a loud prayer. She would fit in here at this church. She was a loud prayer. And I would come up from the basement and I would hear her upstairs. We had a three-story house, and upstairs she would be praying out loud. I would come home from school. She would be praying. Both my brothers are pastors. I'm a pastor. I don't know if that's a curse or if that's just a godly blessing. But I think there was something to her prayers. I had a really good life. And in 2011, I was having some health issues and I took a sabbatical from our church. In 2003, I was fired from the church I'm at right now, which is crazy. And they brought me back because the former pastor left and took like 1,500 people less than a mile away and planted a new church. And I came back to the church where I was a music pastor. I'd never been a senior pastor, never preached, never raised any money. And we had a building that was half built and the construction stopped because we were $14 million short. I had to let go of 35 staff members and then I had to raise $14 million to build a building. There's no possible way I could do any of that. But my wife and I chose to say, God's calling us back to Friends because I want to be a part of a God story, not Matthew's story. And now 23 years later, God did a work. And in 2011, I went on a little sabbatical and there was a betrayal that happened with a staff member and I came back and found out that there was an insurrection while I was gone. Everything you want to hear from a sabbatical. And I was about 5 weeks being back, and I figured out what had taken place. And I went into what was called a situational depression. I went to counseling. I'd never been to a counselor, never walked into an office of a counselor before. And it was the stereotypical American counseling office. I walked in, and there was the recliner chair and the fake fireplace. And the guy goes, "Tell me about your dad." And I'm like, this is what we're going to do. And as I was in that depression, he said there was a cloud over my life like Chernobyl, like this miasma it's called. And until this situation came, that spiritual cloud, that oppression that was over me was not going to go away. And in those 4 or 5 months, I lost about 14 or 15 pounds. And if you're looking at me, I can't stand to lose 14 or 15 pounds. But I lost weight. I had no desire to lead. I had no faith. But in that moment, God met me. And it wasn't until I walked through suffering that now I understand our congregation a little bit differently. I didn't have as much empathy, and I didn't have as much care, and I didn't have as much compassion, and yet God changed me. But see, God has to do a work inside of you before he'll ever do a work through you. And he comes along and he says, listen, this walk with Jesus is not the easy walk. If you accept Jesus, your circumstances just don't change. In fact, they might stay the same. It's you that changes because it's inside out. And you can go on TV and watch all the television evangelists you want that name it and claim it and think that everything's just great. And I just want to tell you, that's not what the gospel of Jesus Christ says. He comes and he says, hey, if you're going to walk with me, part of life, it's just part of everyone's life, you're going to suffer. But guess what? When you suffer, there is glory associated with him. See, if you live the resurrection life of Jesus Christ, at some point you will go through hell, but I promise you will not have to stay there. Ecclesiastes tells us there's a season for everything. And I love the way the Message Bible puts this whole section that we just read. Romans chapter 8, here's what it says. This resurrection life you receive from God, it's not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expected, greeting God with a childlike, what's next, Papa? God's Spirit touches our spirit and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, Father and children. And we know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. And if we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. And he says that is what it means to be a child of the Most High God. In America, we have these giant stores. And I found out last service, you know what they're like. So my wife and I went to Costco one day. Costco, you know what Costco is? It's the $500 store, because you walk in just getting a few things and it costs you $500 before you walk out. So we go into Costco. I have no intention of buying really anything. I'm just there to carry the heavy stuff for my wife. And we walk past this section and there's a Traeger barbecue. Here's a picture of it. It's going to be on the screens. It's a smoker, okay? The guy says, hey, would you like to hear about the Traeger? And I was like, no, I'm good. And he goes, I'm telling you, you want to hear about the Traeger? And I'm like, all right, tell me about it. And he's like, you can smoke meat. You can just leave it on there for 8 hours. You don't ever have to touch it. And you can come back and it's done. It's cooked for you. And I'm like, that sounds great. Tell me more. And he told me more. And then I was like, I think I want a Traeger. And before I knew it, he threw in a cover for the Traeger. And I had a cover, and I had a $500, $600 Traeger that I wasn't even going to buy. And when I bought the Traeger, you know what the guy did? Here's what he did. He stuck out his hand, and he goes, welcome to the Traeger family. And I was like, there's a Traeger family. I didn't know. I'm part of the Traeger family. Do you know how important I felt? I was part of something bigger than myself. And I didn't know what it meant to be a Traeger family till a couple years later. I broke a casket, the little roller on the bottom, and I called customer service. And I said, hi, this is Matthew Cork. And they looked me up and they said, oh, hello, Mr. Cork. You bought your Traeger, da-da-da-da-da. And we're so glad you're a part of the family. I'm like, thank you. I am so glad too. And then I said, I need a new caster. And she said, well, it's still under warranty. You can have a free caster. That'll be shipped out in 2 days. I'm like, this is awesome. This is what it means to be part of a family. Think about that. It's for a stupid barbecue. But do you know how it made me feel? Really good. And when I called customer service, you know how it made me feel? Like I was important. If you're part of the family of God today, you are the son of the daughter of the Most High God. And he sent his son to die on a cross for you. Remember, I told you my daughter walked down that line at Baylor, and they gave her high fives. And on the front of the jersey, it said Baylor line. But on the back of a jersey, it had her name. And you know what they said? Welcome to the Baylor family, Ella. Welcome. She wore that jersey with pride. For 4 years, it changed her life. I don't know what your name is. Put your name on the back of the jersey today. Ella, Jonathan, James, Erica, Simon. Whatever your name is, you matter to God. And he says you are a part of his family. And if today you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he just says, choose to believe and receive. Galatians 4 says, and because you are children of God, God has sent the Spirit of God, his Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if you're a child, then you are an heir through God. As I close, the faithfulness of God has been seen long before us, and the faithfulness of God will go on long after us. So let me ask you, for those of you who are a follower of Jesus, as a child of God, will his faithfulness be seen in you? Where do you need to trust God right now for what he has already given you? Or the promises that he has given all of us? See, as a child of God, you've been given access to everything you need from the God of everything you have. Can you imagine being God's child standing in front of the Red Sea when God spoke and he waved his hands and the sea parted so they could walk right through? Can you imagine what they thought when they looked back and realized they were not held captive to slavery any longer and the waters had parted? The creator of the universe etched deep within their souls on that day that they were no longer alone, but they had been adopted by an almighty God as his own. And today the same is true for you. And today he just says with open arms, welcome to the family of God. I don't know what your relationship is to your earthly father. Some in this room have a good one. Some have not had a good one. Some have been clouded by a relationship with their heavenly father because of an earthly father. Can I just speak over you what God says to you? That you are loved and you are blessed and you are whole and you are worthy because of him. And today, our God still parts the seas. He still heals the sick. He still moves in the hearts and lives of people, and he still is bringing sons and daughters into his family. And today, if you have never asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be the Savior of your life, you can. If you've never made a decision to join the family of God, you can right where you are. And if you don't know today if you're a child of God, settle that question right here once and for all. The faithfulness of God has been seen long before us and will be seen long after us. And I pray it will be seen in every single one of you by the power of his Spirit that lives in his sons and daughters. As you go today, go knowing you are a son and daughter of the Most High God.